such a needless killing. So let's be mindful to pray for those families during this time of tragedy. Amen. Pastor, this is something to pray right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Sarah there in her time of need, her time of bereavement. Lord, we lift up all the family members down in Florida. We know that this is a tragic and an unfortunate situation. But Lord, we realize that you make no mistakes. Lord, we ask you to turn this tragedy into a triumph. Lord, turn this mess into a message. We just ask you in the mighty name of Jesus that you bless. Lord, we lift up all those family members that have lost loved ones and those that are in the hospital. Lord, intervene according to your will. Lord, we take nothing for granted, but we thank you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just trust that your will be done. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Galatians, the 6th chapter. Amen. As I said on Sunday, the Lord gave me so many scriptures. This will be part two, basically, from Sunday. But we won't get to this. I've only did 2 pages on Sunday, and I have 9 pages left. But nevertheless, we're living in a very challenging time where people are turning their backs on God. You know, they're allowing circumstances and events, the challenges of life, make them turn their backs on God. And as we went over on Sunday, Paul told the Galatian church, you did run well. Amen. Life started off well. But what hinder you now? What traps, what setbacks, what pitfalls has the devil put in your way that make you turn your back on God? Amen. There should be nothing in this life that should ever make us turn our backs on God. Can we say praise the Lord? So we're going to turn to Galatians, the 6th chapter. And we're just going to read three verses of scripture. Amen. And then we're trying to go through quite a few of the scriptures. Now, it's so important when we hear the word of God, it should find a lodging place in our heart. Amen. Too many times we come to church, the word of God is nothing more than a mental concept. Right? We receive it in our mind, but we never receive it in our heart. And then we wonder when we have hard times why we can't get over it. Because the word of God has to find a lodging place in our hearts. The psalmist said, thy word have I. Amen. You have to hide God's word in your heart, especially in this day. Amen. There's so much uncertainty. There's so many unfortunate, tragic events that are happening. Amen. If you're not rooted and grounded in God like you should be, you'll turn your back on God. So we need to be rooted and grounded. But Galatians 6:7 reads, we all have that. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if you don't quit. If you don't turn your back on God, go through it. Amen. We all have hardships. We all have difficulties. But the great thing about being saved is you got God with you. Amen. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said, amen. So we're going to continue with our thought from Sunday. Is don't let that turn you around. And as we said on Sunday, that to all of us could be different. That could be different for all of us. But the devil has for one purpose of mission for that. And that's to turn us around. Amen. We must purpose in our hearts that we want to go forward. So Paul tells us, he said, don't be deceived. Amen. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God will not be mocked. Amen. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. But if you sow to the flesh, amen, you're going to reap corruption. So Paul said, listen, you might have been working as hard as you could, You've done all that you can, and you feel like you're losing out. He said, don't be weary, and listen, if you've been doing good, don't let nothing or anything stop you from doing what's right in God's eyes. Right? Be not weary and well-doing, for you shall reap it. But the key to you reaping is you can't quit. You can't faint. You can't stop. You know, I've met people for years that believed in God, loved God, and a tragic event comes along, or something that they can't handle, and they faint. They quit. Why quit on the only one that can bring you through? You know, we quote so many scriptures and say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and then when you're going through, you forget God loves you. Right? And contrary to the thought that many people have that God is up there just waiting to punish you, God is not waiting to punish you. He died so that you can have life, and so that we can have life more abundantly. Amen. So God is not angry. People will be angry and people will point a finger at you, but God is a God of mercy. How many know God is a God of mercy? Amen. God looks beyond all of our faults, and he sees our needs. So now let's go to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. So just remember, God won't be mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And God is always monitoring us to see what are you doing with your situation. You know, as I said, I'm learning more every day. I cannot respond to situations. Right? Because we get used to being, you know, how many of you in school yet? Every action has an equal reaction. Remember that in science? For those of you, I know some of us have been in school looking. But every action has an equal reaction. But you determine whether your reaction is going to be to please God or to please flesh. Because if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But when you please God, you sow to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. So yes, we have hardships. Sometimes we do. Have you all ever had some of those situations you just can't figure out what could be going through somebody's mind to make them act like they act? Seriously, how do they act like they act? That ain't the real question. The real question is why, how are you reacting to how they act? That's the real challenge. How are you reacting to how they act? Because be not deceived, God is not wise. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, I'm just tired of this. Don't be weary in well-doing. Right? And you know, for years I've heard it said, I've heard it said about me many years ago, you're just too soft. You just let people run all over you. Just do what God wants you to do. We can't get to the heaven where we live our lives based on people. Because when you start living based on people, you can be assured one thing, you're going to mess up. Right? You're going to fall short. So Hebrews, the 6th chapter, we don't want to be weary in what? Well doing. So Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and we're going to start in the 10th verse. So y'all still with me? And the biggest thing, how are you reacting to how people act? Right? Amen. Because a lot of times when things are happening, what I do purposely, I try to get into a spiritual zone. Because if I get into a fleshly zone, I'm not going to react right. And sometimes, unfortunately, how many know we're all in the flesh? So sometimes we act wrong. So when things are happening, I try to go into a spiritual zone. Right? And in my spiritual zone, yes, it's happening and falling apart all around me, but I still see God. Amen? Even in hardships and difficulties, challenges, I don't understand, but I still see God. Why? Because I get into a different zone spiritually. I get into a different zone mentally. For less, yes, you're acting ugly, you're acting all this, but I still see God. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
We all need to train ourselves. Stop reacting to what people are doing. And remember this, whatever you do, you're supposed to do it as unto God and not unto man. When you start doing things unto man, you're doing it for eye service. But when you do it unto God, you do it from the singleness of your heart to please God. And the question tonight, in your reactions, amen, what are you reacting to? And as I said a couple of weeks ago, almost everything we think is negative and somebody's acting some way is nothing more than a misunderstanding in our own minds. Amen? A lot of times we react to stuff and it's just something that's going on in our mind because of something that we just went through. And the person that you reacted to don't have the slightest idea what you reacted to. Seriously. You ever do something and people look like, almost like they're mortified, like, whoa. Seriously, whoa, what just happened? Right? And by the time your mind finished blowing up this big picture, it ain't even the truth. So we need to learn how to react like God reacts. Remember when they brought the woman that was caught in the act of adultery to Jesus? You know what they wanted Jesus to do? Condemn her. But the Bible said the Lord had compassion on her. And if we ever learn to do this, they said, Lord, what are we going to do if she was caught in the act? Then Jesus just started writing on the ground. He didn't ask her. He started writing on the ground. You know, the law was put some powerful stuff on that ground. Because the Bible said, from the oldest to the youngest, when they saw what was on the ground, they left. And then he finally looked at the woman. And this is how we need to learn. Church folks can be the most difficult people in the world. Church folks, I'm going to tell you the truth. Church folks can be the most difficult people in the world. Because we talk God, but we act on God. We talk God, yes, God is this, God is that. Then you react on God. So Jesus, when he finished writing on the ground, you know, sometimes you have to stand up and look and see what he's writing on the ground in front of you before you react. Seriously. Lord, would you just put that about me? When they were all gone, he looked at the woman and said, woman, where are thine accusers? She said, sir, no man. He said, neither do I. Just go ahead, sin no more. That's the mindset that your church should have. But the mindset, unfortunately, that your church has is, you did that, you deserve this, you deserve that, and you deserve the other. We need to change our mindset. Can we say hallelujah? So Hebrews the 6th chapter, the 10th verse reads, for God is, aren't you so glad that God is righteous? The scripture says in Genesis 18 chapter, shall not the judge of all the earth do right. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered at. You can't go on past laurels. God's not unrighteous to forget what you have done, but the question is, what are you doing right now? So we say, God, remember how I did this, remember how I did that. God said, I remember that. What are you doing now? Amen? So we want God to bless us based on what we did. But what are you doing now? Because you reap what you sow. Right? And God is not hard. You can't say, well, back in 1920, I was this. I had a revival and 1,000 people got saved. That's 1920. Right? Then in 2000, what did you do? Well, I just sat home and relaxed. I paid my dues. I'm like Caleb. You know, when Caleb and Joshua went to view the land. Y'all just stay with me. He said, we don't go places. When Joshua and Caleb went to view the land with the other 10 spies, the 10 spies brought back an evil report. But Joshua and Caleb steal the people. They said, if God delighted us, amen, and if we don't disobey him, he will bring us to the place that he has promised. And he was only 40 years old. But after 40 years had gone by, when Joshua was now dividing the land, and he got to Caleb, Caleb said, give me this mountain. Because this is the mountain that God promised me. He said, even though 40 years have gone by, I'm still as strong today. And I was back then, you know what? I haven't changed. Amen. I'm not talking about what I did, but where are we at today? So Caleb said, give me. We need to have some mountains in our lives that we need to challenge. Amen. We need to stop saying, well, when I was 20, I could do this. When I was 30, I could do this. When I was 40. Listen, God has not changed. Amen. So you don't do it the same way. The great thing about he called the old because they are wise. Right? Y'all, come on, y'all talk to me. He called the old. I ain't talking to nobody. Now. Listen, I'm going to say, I'm old too. I'm old, but I'm not that old. 40 or something like that, plus a few other numbers, right? But he called the old people and said, why? So you don't stop working. You work smarter. Amen. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you showed toward this thing, and that you have ministered, and now I'm old and I still do ministry. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So your question is, what are we doing for God? Amen. So we say, Lord, I've done this, I've done that. Not in the past. Amen. And we're going to go over a king a little later. If I take some shortcuts, we're going to go over a king that started off well. But then he forgot. Amen. Like I said, I'd like to use real application. So God is not righteous, forget our work and labor love. And let's just skip down to verse 12. I'm not going to go through all of this, but let's go to verse 12. So we want God to bless us, but the question is, what is our spiritual mindset? Are we diligent? Are we a worker? Or are we slothful? Right? Are we diligent? Are we workers? Are we slothful? So verse 12 says, that ye be not slothful, but what? Follow to them who through impatience inherit the promises. So you start off in faith, but where are you at today in your faith? You start off in faith, but where are you at today? Be not slothful, but follow to them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. Now let's go to Galatians, actually let's go to Matthew, the 24th chapter. So we're dealing tonight with not turning around because of that. All of us have some hardships. All of us in life have challenges. But the problem is not the hardship of the challenge. The problem is, what is the mindset? Right? The Bible says, a man thinking in his what? Heart, so is he. Tonight, how are we thinking? Are we thinking like we're victorious and conquerors? Are we just ready to quit and give up, throw in the towel? God has not changed. God is still the same, amen? So Matthew 24:13 says, but he that shall... Wait a minute. I started running a long time ago, but the question is, where are you at right now? Because he that endureth to the end, saved shall be saved. So don't tell me when you started off, where are you at right now? In the process between the promise and the inheritance, where are you at? Are you quitting on God? Are you losing your confidence in God because of something that's happened? Are you still with God? Amen. Now let's go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Have you lost your confidence in God because of challenges? Are you quitting and giving up on God because, oh God, if I saw this day coming? That's why God loves us so much. He don't show us what's going to happen. Amen. And I will tell you this. You ever look back over some situations and say, Lord, how did I get through that? Seriously, you ever look back? We all have some of those. Lord, if I didn't have a right mind, God would have said that situation would have taken me out. But his grace. God's grace carries you through the hard times. Then you look back and in your mind you try, how did I do it? You didn't do it, God did it. Amen. So we need to learn to depend on God's grace. Okay, Hebrews 10:23 reads, let us hold fast. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Don't waver. For he is faithful and promised. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, because he is faithful that promised. Now let's get down to verse 35. We're talking about trusting God. We're talking about having confidence in God, not confidence in man. The Bible says in Jeremiah the 17th chapter, cursed be the man that has confidence or trust in man. He said, cursed be the man that has confidence and trust in man, Be the man that, because he maketh flesh his arm, and his heart departs from God. Skip 5 and go down to 6. Actually, 7, I think it is. Go down to 7, right there. All right. So now there's two opposites. You can trust in God, or you can trust in man. Right? But when you trust in man and flesh to get your victory, you're cursed. How many want to be blessed?
Amen.
Well, how many want to be blessed? Well, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that what? Trusted in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. I don't know how, and I don't know when. But one thing I do know for sure is God's going to bring me through, because my hope is not in man, but my hope is in God. And because I'm hoping in God, eventually he's going to bless me. He's going to bless me his way. Why? Because I'm not looking at man. But my eyes are fixed on Jesus. No matter how
grace.
Right? Grace helps you through your hard times. Grace will bring you through your challenges. Amen? He said, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the... Let's stop right there. You have need of patience, that after you have done the... Now, that's a personal thing. I can't tell you what the will of God is for you, even though God can show me. But it's more important for you to know for yourself. Because the Bible says we have to work on our own salvation with fear and trembling. Right? So after you've done the... Stop right there. Are we doing the will of God or the will of man? Right? Even in ministry sometimes, you can be doing the will of man and not the will of God. And you know what I love about God? God loves us so much that when we're going the wrong way, he stirs us. He stirs our conscience. He stirs our mind. God said, well, you're not doing it like I want you, so I'm going to stir you. Now, every time God stirs you, I'm going to tell you what messed you up. Some man will come out and say, you all right? He said, well, someone was telling me to, you all right? No, God was stirring you. Because you weren't doing the will of God, you were doing the will of man. And in your back of your mind, you'd be like, man, I just can't rest in that because I just don't feel as I'm doing what God wants me to do. Because you're not doing the will of God. So after you've done the will of God, you have need of patience that you may receive the promise. So tonight, forget about our will. Our will take us to hell if we don't watch it. Yes. I'm going to go over to someone in a few minutes that started off so well. God just blessed them mightily. Yes. Then they got lifted up in pride. Pride is a dangerous thing. Yes. Listen, pride is dangerous. All right, if you pull up Proverbs 16:18 for me. Y'all read this last month. We read this one. Because we read one chapter of Proverbs every day. So y'all already read 16:18. All right, so you already read this one. But it said, pride go before destruction. Your pride will destroy you. Do you know, like, listen, in God's eyes, we're all the same. He has his hierarchy for the perfection of the saints. But when God sees us, none of us are greater than the other. Amen. So pride goes before and a before. Somebody said, I keep falling, your spirit's not right. Because when your spirit is right, God will lift you up. So I don't think of all that bad. Sarah, go to, six, go to Proverbs 16, verse 2, not 22. This is 16:2. Because we read this one too. Alright. Y'all just don't remember. So I'm alright. I look at my situation up pretty good. It says, all the ways of a man of what? Checking your spirit out. Amen. So your pride will take you low. Yes. Your pride will make you fall. Because pride rivals God. You know what pride tells you? Pride says, listen, I can do what God can do. Well, how do we know that? Lucifer was up there. He said, hey, I can't see God. I can do what God can do. He said, matter of fact, I'm about to put myself above God. God said, what? Turn to Luke 10:18. This is what God did to him. All right, I'm just, y'all with me. Look, I'm just lifting myself up. I'm going to do this. And don't talk about what you're going to do, right? Because without God, you can't do nothing. Right? But look, Luke 10:18 says, this is what Jesus said. He said, and I beheld Satan as fall. You know why? Because he was so clean in his own eyes. He lifted himself up. God said, no, you're about to come down. Right? So pride will destroy you. Amen. Pride makes you see you, and you don't see God. And he's out of hell. Sin is lightning falling from heaven. So it's so important tonight. God can help us. But pride, all the ways of a man are not only clean in his own eyes, but all the ways of a man are right in his own eyes. You know, I'm going to tell you, this is how I am personally. After every message that Lord blessed me to preach, I go and say, where did I mess up? You know, I don't think none of us perfect. Right? So I'm not like the one to listen for the glamour. I want to listen for the mistakes. Right? Because I want to correct any mistakes that I made. Like the other day, I listened, I said, man, I was tearing them scriptures up in the wrong chapter. Oh, I don't want to mess up like that. You know why? Because we need to search ourselves sometimes. The scripture says, search and try your ways, and then turn back to God. Amen. Search and try your ways, and turn back to God. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians and the 4th chapter. And then we're going to go to, I'll try to finish by 8 o'clock. So let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. We're going to go through quite a few verses here in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Amen? And we're going to start off with verse 1 of this 4th chapter. And Paul tells him, he says, having therefore received mercy, having this ministry, have we received mercy, we what? Faint not. Right, so all of us are blessed to be in some portion of the ministry because of God's mercy. He said, but because we're in the ministry, you are not to faint. Then we know verse 7 said, we're troubled on every side, yet not in the strength. Verse 6 says that we have this treasure in an earthly vessel, and the ecstasy of the power might be of God and not of us. Right? It's not what you can do, but it's what God can do. Amen. So the one's pride. Did you see, I did this and I did that? You have messed up. Because anything we do is through God. Can we say hallelujah? But now let's go down to the 15th verse of this 4th chapter. Many times we look at our challenges and hardships as though we're being overthrown. But the scripture says, for all things are for whatever any of us experiencing tonight is for your sake. That the abundant grace right through the complaining of men.
Thank
you. Y'all got to correct me. I'm messing up. The abundant grace right through the complaining, the murmuring of men. Right? Whatever, all things are for your sake. That the abundant grace right through the thanksgiving of many redound a result to the glory of God. So whatever you're going through in all things, Paul said, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And he tells the Philippian church, for it is God that worketh in you. Lord, thank you. Not God might work, but God worketh in you both to will and to do of his own. So for all things are for your sake, God is trying to work himself in you, and God is trying to work himself out of you. Amen? Then he goes on to say in the 16th verse, for which cause? Say, I'm going through. Don't faint. This trial is wearing me out. Still, don't faint. God has placed us in his ministry because of his mercy. Don't faint. I'm going through, but don't faint. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Don't faint. But though our outward man perish, but our God said, you just worry about the wrong things. That's why Paul said, I die daily. Not the outside, not the inside, but the outside. Amen. Because the focus of the sin of God should not be on the external, more than on the internal. So, yes, we want to look our best on the outside. But we should also want to look the best on the inside. So though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed, how? Day by day. For our whatever you're going through, I don't like it, it's hard, it's bigger than life. working for a what? Wait a minute, don't go to the scene and turn away from it. Our life in the future will work it but for a
moment.
Listen, all God has to do is speak the word. And that whatever they're going through is only a moment. But it works for you a far more than a seed way of glory. So you don't have to stink in it, it's just a light affliction. Amen. But you got to let God have his way. Amen. Now this is where, if you ain't in God like you want to be, you'll be looking at the trouble. You'll be looking at everything that you can't see. Right? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are you can't stop. Don't worry about what you're going through. You got to see God. While we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen, for the things which are seen. Whatever you want, it's just temporary. It's only going to last a moment. But the things that are not seen are eternal. So your focus has to change. And if your focus don't change, whatever your thing is, it's going to turn you around. Right? So well-meaning saints walk with God for many years in one big hardship. One hardship changed their whole spiritual perspective. One hardship caused them to lose out on God. But you did run well. But what the? Remember you said hinder is a military term that Paul uses only one time in the Bible, and it's anacopto. It means who set traps in your road and turned you around. Right? Who set landmines that when you started walking, they started exploding, so you got to stay there. Turn around. We are child of God. We have to go forward. Right? You can't allow trials and tests to turn you around. Now let's go to 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter. We'll close here for tonight. Amen. And if God gives you something different on Sunday, we'll go there. Not we'll finish it above. No, we won't. This is long enough for one place. Let's go to 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter. It's so important tonight that we have a proper spiritual perspective. Because the devil tries to change our perspective. And in changing the perspective, we see more of the problem than our God. And we think the problem is too big for God. And then when we get one of those big ones, a trial that you weren't expecting, that's the big one. How did you react to the big one? Did you trust God or did you just lose it? Right? All of us, listen, every patriarch in the Bible, when they got to the big one, they feared, but then they got over it. Right? It's nothing wrong with showing fear, but it's time to get over it. You can't stay there. Because when you stay in fear, then you say, God can't do it. And the scripture says, God has not given the church. He doesn't know who the church. Give God a way off. Well, let me tell you something about you. God did not give you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Well, why did God give us the spirit of fear? The spirit of fear is not of God. The spirit of fear is from the devil. God gave us the spirit of the Holy Ghost, which is power. And the power that we refer to is the dunamis, which means it's power that is dynamite. Dynamite will blow up. Actually, what's that? My father was in the army, he was an engineer. Let me tell you about that. That was some powerful stuff. So my father was, he was an engineer, he was in the army. And they were putting in this new road up near our high school. Right? So they kind of got, you got to know when everybody mess with dynamite, everybody got to be doing. So my father had already gone down and put dynamite in the hole to blow it up. Another guy didn't realize he put dynamite in here. So he went down and put some more dynamite. It's not dynamite. Now listen, we couldn't even see where they were at. When that dynamite went off, it came down and tore all the cars in our school parking lot. Because that's what dynamite did. We didn't see it. You know, they didn't see the whole rocks coming from there. is a true story. I'm not lying. West Point. They put two up, they doubled the dynamite. So the dynamite came down, destroyed cars and everything else. Army had to pay out all those. I don't know how much money they had to pay out. Because the rocks, when they came up, they just came down. And we, listen, we couldn't see where they were working. But that's what that, that's the power of God. You don't have to see it, but you know it's coming. Right? And God said, if you don't believe my one explosive, I'm going to put some more in there so you can see the exceeding greatness of my power to you that believe. Because my power is so great that I can do exceeding abundantly above all that you actually can.
All right, let me finish. So, 7 Chronicles, the 26th chapter, verse 3. Are y'all still with me? Alright, now this is someone that started with. God was blessing them. And you ever start off like, man, God blessed everything I do. Right? Be careful that you don't get out of God, because that blessing can turn around. Alright? So we'll go through this quickly. It says, Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign in Jerusalem. Verse 4 said, and he did that which was what? Right in the sight of man, in the sight of the pastor, the elders and mothers and the deacons. He did that which was right in the sight of who? The Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and visions of God. So as long as somebody godly was around, Uzziah was on track. That's why you got to make sure you would your stay, make sure your company stay godly. Right? Because as long as you're in godly company, you have a godly mind. But if you get out of a godly company, you become a product of your environment. Amen. If you don't believe that, pick you a hot cup of coffee or tea. Because everybody drinks coffee. Or hot chocolate. And put it outside when it was 50 below zero. What would happen to your hot chocolate, tea, or coffee? It's going to turn into ice. Because that thing is going to become a product of his, as it is in the natural man, so it is in the spiritual. Right. So you can't take your hot, zealous self and put it in a cold environment and think you're going to stay on fire for God. That's not right. So as long as Zechariah, God the man, was around, Uzziah was all right. All right? It says, let's get down to verse 15. And he made the Jerusalem entrance. He was crafty, invented by cunning men to be on towers and upon bullocks, to shoot arrows and great stones of gold. And his name spread abroad, for he was marvelously helped. Everybody knew about Uzziah. He was marvelously helped until. Right? Until what? That ain't this kind of strong. That's that wrong strong. Right? He said, if you're weak and wrong, somebody can help you. I said, Lord, have mercy. If you're strong and wrong, they can't help you. Right? So he was marvelously helped. God was with them until he was I should have wrote this up in verse 5. Let's go to the he had visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, by chance he prospered. He tripped up and prospered. Listen, as long as you seek God, God will make you to prosper. Seek God. Don't worry about anything else. God said, you just take care of my business and I'll take care of your business. Because when a man ways, please the Lord, I'm going to Proverbs 16 a lot. This is Proverbs 16:7. When a man ways, please the Lord, he will. He'll make you to prosper. Your counsel, the enemy, he'll turn it around. Right? So when you please the Lord, God will make you to. So as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Amen. Now let's go to verse 16. I'm almost finished, so don't get weary. He said, but when everybody was talking about all Uzziah was gone, all of a sudden he Uzziah said, man, I am somebody. You know, listen, without God, you are nobody. I don't care how high you get. Right? Solomon, as great as he was, as long as he was with God, he was somebody. But the minute he got lifted up and got in the wrong company, he was nobody. So as long as Uzziah stayed in God, he was somebody. But then he got lifted up in pride. Remember, pride goes before destruction. Right? Pride will bring you low. Amen. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he. Now, how did you start off so well, Uzziah? How was God blessing you? How did you get a name everywhere until you got lifted up in pride? So you got to save God. You can't let God, you can't start off and then end up wrong. Amen. You got to continue in God. Can we say hallelujah? All right. So it says verse 17 now. Unfortunately, that good leadership he had is gone. Amen. That godly man that he was around is gone. Because I believe he reigned for 52 years. So near the end of his ministry. Near the end of his reign, he didn't have that same godly influence. That's why people, when they start hanging out with the wrong crowd, you can tell. Listen, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know when people used to pray. Don't pray no more. I ain't trying to be nosy. I'm just trying to help you. People that used to testify, don't testify no more. Well, who's changed? God has not changed. No, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, what changed? Your environment has changed. And because your environment has changed, your place in God has changed. So the stuff you used to do, you just don't do it anymore. Well, God has not changed.
Well, you don't understand.
Yeah, God doesn't understand. The Bible says he's our high priest. And he was touched with all the failings of our infirmities, right, as we are, yet without sin. He said, and because God is your high priest, guess what? You can come. Boldly to the throne of grace, that you can find mercy and obtain grace to help in a time of need. So come to God. Stop running away from God. Yes, it's bad, but God has not changed. He's still there. He's still waiting on you. So then you lift it up in pride, and that same spirituality you used to have.
Well, I might pray and I might not pray.
Jesus said, men are always to pray. Are y'all with me?
Well, I saw this one do that. I said, well, if they can do that,
you're looking at the wrong thing. Looking unto who?
Jesus.
So once you start looking at the man, you'll mess up. All right, let me finish this up. I'll make a few more verses, all right? So it says, verse 17, and Azariah the priest, now he doesn't have that same godly influence that he had before. Now, Azariah the priest went in after him. His heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed the law of his God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense. Wait, he's the king. Stay in your lane. Stay in your office. Stay in your position. So if God has called you to a position, don't get into your position. When you start getting a
you can pray, I can pray.
God is honoring. I got to say, you gotta say where you're supposed to be. Once you get out of your place, God will correct you. You understand that? So don't think, I saw what they did, I can do it. You can mimic it and imitate it, but you cannot do it again. Because you're doing it based on what you can do. And the person that God has used did it based on what God can do. So you're trying to do what they did because I saw it. That's not going to work. Because if God's not working through you, you're not going to do it. So the problem with Uzziah, he saw. But when that godly leader was around, he was all right. But when he got in the wrong company, when he got the wrong voices talking to him, you're the king. You can do what you want to do. Yes, you can do what you want to do, but you can't do what you want to do in God's house. You understand? Yeah, quiet. Listen, you could be all you want.
Well, I've been saying this long. I've been
in church, you still stay in your position. All right? Because when you get out of your position, God knows how to bring you down. So Uzziah got out of his position because he was in the wrong spiritual environment. And the wrong spiritual environment said, you do what I can do. Thank God for people that try to correct you when you're wrong. All right, so let me just go ahead and finish this. So Azariah the priest went in at him, and with him was, they said, this is a king, so I can't cook for myself. So the priest took 80 more priests with him, because what Uzziah was doing was wrong. And they were trying to correct him. The Bible says, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. This is a proverb. A little further back, a little further down the 16. What the kisses of an enemy are deceitful, but the wounds of a friend, they are faithful. Your enemy will mess you up because they say you are right. Your friend will tell you the truth. Say, you said what to me? So I'm just trying to help you get back to God where you ought to be. So thank God for a friend that will wound you. Not to hurt you, but to get you back with God. So they're trying to tell you, Uzziah, what you're doing is wrong. And they, verse 18, and they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it pertained not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, to go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast transgressed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah God. Listen, if someone's trying to tell you the right thing and you're messing up, don't get angry. So all that God was blessing them as long as he saw the Lord, all of a sudden now the blessings aren't what they used to be no more. Because he had a different spirituality. He had a different mindset because he's not under the same godly influence. Now there are all other influences. But 1 John 4:1 says, you've got to try the spirit to see whether they be of God or not. So you died and got mad and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was fighting with the priests and were trying to tell them to do the right thing, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they crushed him out. You can't be in here. They crushed him out. Yea, himself hasted also to go out because the Lord had. That was bad. Remember when God smote Miriam with leprosy? At least she repented. And God's out away for 7 days, and after 7 days she was cleansed. Uzziah had a problem. His pride got so much. Even when he had lepers, even when he became a leper, he did not repent. Like, he was wrong. But he had allowed the wrong spiritual environment to take him down so far that now he's being destroyed. And Uzziah, verse 21, the king was a leper until the day of his death. Why did he repent? Because he allowed the wrong environment to cause him to turn around. That one that turned him around. He couldn't repent, he couldn't change. So he was a leper to the day of his death and dwelt in a several house being a leper. For he was cut off from the house. Wait a minute. Uzziah, God bless you. You started off so well. You did run well. But what is Henry, you now. You did preach well, but what is? You did testify, but what is? You did pray, but what is? You're in the wrong environment. That environment will hurt you. And that environment creates a different mindset. That environment creates a different aura. That environment creates a different approach to God. So God allows hardship to get you back in line. People will come and warn you, you get mad. Now, you know that when you talk to some people, they get all angry. I ain't talking about y'all, y'all can say, man. He said, so Right? The Bible says after the first, a second admonition, leave them alone. Right? If you can't reach them, just leave them in God's hand. He knows that. That's good enough. Right? We need to get to the place of God. If we allow a wrong spirit to affect us to the point that we are not in God who we used to be, it's time for repentance. It's time for a change, right? It's not time to keep going in the wrong environment, around the wrong influences. The devil uses those influences to hinder you. Those influences intended for one purpose, that's to turn you around. Amen. And then there's a sad place when you get to a place in God that you don't realize how far you are away from God. Right? You come to church, you don't even feel the Spirit. Matter of fact, you maybe I'll go to church today, maybe I won't. As good as God has been to me, if I can't drive to church, I don't run to church. Right? I might not run fast, but I run. You know what I'm saying? Because God has been too good. What? Just think, seriously. Honestly, what hinders us? What hinders us as the devil used to distance you from God? And you're blaming it on everybody else. The problem is not everybody else, the problem is you. Because when your way please the Lord, he will. All right. When your ways please God, they are a demon in hell. They can stop what God has for you. When your ways please the Lord, they ain't nobody that can come between you and God. Because God will make your enemies be at peace with you. So the problem is not God. The problem is our mental